Chapter 15. The Death of Hope. Paul felt lonely and defeated. His mother had really supported his life. He wanted someone to help him, of their own choosing. But Clara was not strong enough for him to hold on to. She wanted him, but did not want to understand him. If no one was willing to help him, he would go on alone. Baxter Dawes was almost completely recovered from his illness. He had found a job and a place to live in Sheffield. He was going to start work on Monday. Paul knew that his own relationship with Clara was over and that she would go back to Dawes. She did, in fact, go with her husband to Sheffield, and Paul scarcely saw her again. There was little affectionate feeling between father and son. As there was no one to keep the home together, and as neither of them could accept the emptiness of the house, Paul took a room in Nottingham, and Morell went to live with a friendly family in Bestwood. Paul's life had fallen to pieces. He could not paint. At work, there was no Clara. There was nothing left. Everything seemed so different, so unreal. There seemed no reason why people should walk along the street, or why houses should stand in their places. The most real thing to him was the thick darkness of night. That seemed whole and meaningful and restful. Sitting alone in his room, he heard two voices in his head. What am I doing? Destroying myself. That's wrong. Why wrong? She's dead. What was it all for? Her struggle. You're alive. You've got to stay alive for her sake. Carry on for her. Go on with your painting. Painting is not living. Marry then. Have children. Marry who? Miriam. But he did not trust this answer. Always alone, his soul swung first to the side of death, then stubbornly to the side of life. The real disaster was that he had nowhere to go, nothing to do, nothing to say, and was nothing himself. He felt completely disconnected from other people. He went by chance to church one Sunday evening, and there was Miriam, a few rows in front of him. He found her outside after the service. What are you doing in town? He asked.
I'm staying at my cousin Anne's, just till tomorrow.
He invited her to come back to his room for supper. They took the bus, and scarcely spoke until they reached his place, on the edge of town. In his room, supper was laid. Paul made coffee. Miriam told him shyly that she was going to train as a teacher at Broughton College. I suppose you're glad, said Paul.
Very glad.
Well, you'll find earning your own living isn't everything. After supper, they sat by the fire facing each other.
You've broken off with Clara?
Miriam asked. Yes.
You know, she said, I think we ought to be married.
Why?
You're wasting yourself like this.
I'm not sure, he said slowly, that marriage would be much good. You want to put me in your pocket, and I would die there.
What will you do instead?
She asked. I don't know. Go on, I suppose. Perhaps I'll go abroad. There was a long silence. Will you have me? To marry me? He said, in a very low voice.
Do you want it?
She asked, deeply serious. Not much, he replied with pain. And without marriage, we can do nothing.
No, she said, her voice like a deep bell. No, I think not.
He went with her to her cousin's house and left her there. As he turned away, he felt the last foothold for him had gone. The town stretched away to the distance, a flat sea of lights. Behind him lay the country, with little points of light for more towns, the sea, the night, on and on. On every side, the enormous dark silence seemed to be pressing him into nothingness. And yet, though so small and unimportant, he was not nothing. Mother, he whispered in sharpest pain. Mother. She was the only thing that helped him to remain himself among all this. And she was gone. A part of the earth again. But no, he would not give in. He straightened himself and closed his lips firmly. He would not take that direction, to the darkness, to follow her. He walked towards the distant noise, the glowing golden lights of the city, quickly.